Call this meeting to order. It's the Oceana Community Services District. It is October 10th, 2012, 6:30 p.m. Carol Ann, can I get a roll call, please?
President Guerrero.
I'm present.
Vice President Lucy.
Present.
Director Angelo.
Here.
Director Hurdle.
Here.
Director White.
Here.
Item number three, flag salute. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number four, we need to move to approve the agenda or any changes.
I would like to...
I'd like to pull 9C.
Yes, I was going to agree with that. Thank you.
And the reason why 9C is being pulled is because Chuck Stevenson out of County Planning will be here on the 24th of October to go over specific plan in general.
Excellent.
Thanks.
I didn't know what the date was. I talked to Henry Ponercelli about that, and he didn't have the date for me. But.
Yeah, we've been playing phone tag, and we got it worked out today.
Okay.
And then I'd also like to pull 10C.
The will serve for Terrell?
Well, okay. Yes. And the reason being there's some code issues.
But they're going to resubmit, correct?
What?
They're going to resubmit?
No, we just need more work
to
go through it. There's some code violations.
Okay.
Great. Is there any other changes, or are there any other changes, I should ask, to the agenda item tonight?
No.
And I will say that as far as my report on the Sanitation District, I'm going to go ahead and save that until 9B during the committee reports.
That's fine.
It's too intertwined not to do it that way. And that'll allow public comment before the item 9s, in case there is any. All right. With those changes, is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I so move.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Agenda's approved 5-0. Moving on to item number four, and is there any public comment? Ms. Tacker?
Good evening. I am Julie Tacker, and we don't have additional copies of the agenda out here for the public. I fortunately had an extra.
Is there anybody that needs one? Jeff, do you need one?
I just, yeah.
Okay.
Just wanted to, again, encourage your board to consider the seismic testing issue. The California Coastal Commission will not hear it in October. They will be hearing it in November. That gives you a little more time to bring that to your agenda. I'd like to let you know that the Board of Supervisors will be taking it up. The Los Osos Community Services District will be taking it up. The Cambria Community Services District will be taking it up. The Los Osos Community Advisory Council will be taking it up. And I do think with beach closures and impacts to your economy, this is an issue that I'd like to see on your agenda. Expenditures are about and whether or not they are prudent. I was able to study tonight's warrants, and one of the items that popped out at me was a nominal amount, $414, a cell phone reimbursement to Mr. Geislin. And while it is in his contract that he is to be reimbursed $69 a month for cell phone reimbursement, I recall so well that it's in the newspaper back in March that he wasn't going to take that reimbursement. It was suggested at the time of his contract that we would remove the items that he suggested he would not take from the contract, and that didn't happen, and apparently you will be reimbursing him for his cell phone tonight because he's asking for it. I see that you've repainted the room. It was just a year ago that at least one wall was painted. That's a cost to the district. Had some questions that have gone unanswered. Asked about the marriage and family therapist expense a couple of warrants ago. I would like to know more about that. And curious about, again, the $7,000 for the computer forensic for Mr. Doral. And is that related to the AS-400, or is that related to the Langstaff and the pornography scandal? Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Decker. Is there any other public comment tonight? Good evening, Jeff.
Hi, everyone. Jeff Pynack, Oceano resident, rate payer, former chair of Slow Surf Rider. Brad's doing that now. So I'm here to make a comment as a ratepayer, essentially, in the OCSD, and happy to be an Oceano resident. I love it here. I want to talk about the responsibility of that spill. I know the status of the spill. I don't need to speak to the item that's going to you guys are going to look at on your agenda. And of course, everybody knows that a fine has been already levied for $1.1 million against the South San Luis Obispo fine, or the ratepayers should not be relegated to having to pay that fine. The person and company responsible for the spill of the December 2010 spill, for which we're on the hook for $1.1 million, is John Wallace and the Wallace Engineering Group. And it's John Wallace admitted such in his interview with Cynthia Lambert, which was published in the June 3rd Tribune of 2011, in which it says sewage spill was likely preventable. And of course, report by the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District says two errors led to raw sewage escaping during December rains. Because of, quote, Cynthia Lambert, because of a closed discharge valve, a pump was not able to push the raw sewage valve quickly enough through the plant. If it had, the probability of a sewage spill would have been very low, according to a report the district sent this week to the Water Resources Control Board. San District Administrator John Wallace said Wednesday he believes the valve was inadvertently left closed after maintenance had taken place at the plant. John Wallace's quote, "I'm not sure how that happened," he said. I thought he's a plant administrator. I thought when a storm is approaching out of the north and there's going to be a ton of rain that you single check, double check, and triple check every single thing that could possibly go wrong and cause a sewage spill. If there was a valve left closed that should have been open that would have prevented that spill, that is negligence, it is mismanagement, it is an inability of an administrator and a plant engineer to do the correct job. Not ratepayers' responsibility. You guys should represent us, the ratepayer, in this item, and we should be suing John Wallace to pay for that fine.
Thank you.
I'm going to be at every single one of the city councils with this message.
Thank you, Mr. Pynack.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment this evening, Ms. Blackburn? All right, moving on to item number 5, special presentations or commendations, none. Item number 6 is the consent agenda. There are 3 items. A is the agenda review. B is review and
I'll make a motion that we approve the warrants as received.
Just the warrants or the whole consent agenda?
I'm sorry, the consent agenda, too. I'm sorry. I'm not thinking today.
That's okay. Thank you, Angela.
I second.
All right, I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0.
Can I ask that that we have a quarterly report put on our next agenda?
Future agenda items, quarterly report?
Yeah, I think it's time.
Okay.
Thanks.
Make a note of that for item 14. Moving item 7A.
Can I get a definition on the quarterly report?
Well, we usually do a financial quarterly report just to see where we are financially.
Right.
You know, so I'm just asking for an update on a quarterly basis.
Item 7A, Jim Taylor's not here this evening. Sheriff's Department's busy. Moving on, item 7B, Fire Chief Aranaz. Good evening.
Good evening, board members. Joel Aranaz, Five Cities Fire Authority. In the last roughly 1 month, the fire authority has answered a total of 43 incidents in the Oceano Community Services District. About a little over 50% of those incidents were medical in nature. We did have three fires. They were vegetation or outside equipment. There were no structure fires. We also had, in the last month, we had exactly three responses out onto the Oceano dunes, so it's a slow time of the year for us out there. Update on Patrol 61, we have identified about $12,000 in repairs needed for that piece of equipment, $7,000 in wheels and tires, and another $5,000 for the transmission. Running the transmission over the streets, it's not a problem. When we get onto the dunes, it begins to overheat. We have to put a larger transmission cooler and a larger pan on that transmission to keep it from overheating and slipping while we're on the dunes. Have met with Brent Marshall with State Parks, as well as Chief Lewin from County Fire, trying to identify a means to retain those funds to repair the apparatus. We haven't been successful to this point. We do have
And you're a rep on the authority, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's real important that you make sure that, particularly, that a board member have that arrangement, since the ratepayers are going to be paying for it, so, you know.
Right.
It's only fair.
The SAFER grant staffing began on September 22nd, so we now have three firefighters on duty here at the Oceano Station. You do have an engineer here on a daily basis, whereas before you had a driver-operator, if you will. So now we do have a full-time engineer here, which is a very good thing. Tomorrow we're participating in the Elisa Ann Roush Burn Relay. It will be throughout South County, starting in Napomo, and working our way north to San Luis City. We will have a fire prevention display there tomorrow evening at Farmers, and so we'll all be participating in that. And then lastly, tomorrow we also are interviewing for the Administrative Assistant Secretary to the Board position, which has been vacant now for the last about a month. Mm-hmm. I think so. We'll be doing those interviews all day tomorrow. We had 81 applicants for that position. We've narrowed the field down to 9 interviews tomorrow. And then the following week we'll take probably the top 3 finalists for the Chief's interview, and we hope to get that position filled the week of November 26th. So, in a nutshell, that's what's going on with the authority. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to.
You forgot the fundraiser for breast cancer awareness?
We are participating in the breast cancer awareness for the month of October. You'll see all the firefighters wearing their pink T-shirts throughout the month. And this is the second year we have done that, and we're happy to do that. And we look forward to it each year.
And you can buy pink T-shirts to support.
Yes.
I'm going to help you out here.
I can't speak to the MOU on the reps and the union, but I am interested in seeing that MOU. But what I'd like to talk to you about is the, I guess you called it, what is it, Engine 61, did you call it? Is that what it is?
Well, there's Engine 61.
Okay,
and then we have Patrol 61, the four-wheel drive apparatus that goes out onto the dunes.
Right, and you're saying that it needs $12,000 in repairs, right?
Yes.
So originally when that was bought, that was a shared agreement between OCSD providing fire service to the... Secondly is Oceano has always paid 50% for that, if not more, probably more like 75%, or even close probably to about 100%. Of that service out there on the beach. Has Grover Beach or Arroyo Grande put any revenue into patrolling that area of the Five Cities area?
Well, the best way I can answer that, when it was Oceano and Oceano mm-hmm. alone, Oceano was footing the entire bill. Back in 2009, before the merger, Chief Hubert was able to attain $9,000 of in-lieu fee money to purchase equipment for the patrol. In 2010, with the merger, the authority has been spending approximately $3,000 a year in maintenance and operations for that unit. So that money has come 20% from Oceano, 35 from Grover, and 55 or 45 from the city of Arroyo Grande. So
that helps.
Okay.
That really does. So when you give your report at AG and Grover, do you tell them about this engine and that it does need $12,000 worth of repairs and we're all responsible for the state beach, or is it just us?
You're the only one that I report to on a monthly basis. The authority, I don't make a monthly report to the city of Arroyo Grande mm-hmm. or to the city of Grover Beach.
Let me try to get more direct to my question.
Okay.
Are you requesting the same support for this $12,000 from them as you are from us?
I'm not asking you for the $12,000. I'm asking the $12,000 of state parks. It's their jurisdiction. It is not our jurisdiction. There is no money coming to OCSD, Grover, or Arroyo from state parks. We provide a service out there, and because we are the closest responding point.
Right.
It's the authority's contention that we are providing that service. We're providing the staffing out there for free. We think the maintenance of that unit should come from either state parks or the in-lieu fees that are collected at that park.
I think we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Certainly.
Does anybody else have any questions for the chief?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Karen.
There's no memorandum of understanding.
Yeah. So you purchased a used piece of equipment from them, and the only agreement was for the original purchase. There was no agreement for maintenance, staffing. It was just the purchase of that piece of equipment. So from 2004 until 2010, OCSD has maintained that piece of equipment in its entirety. Now we're to the point with budgets the way they are, of looking for state parks to pay for that service that we provide out onto the dunes. So originally there was nothing in the agreement for ongoing maintenance. It was just the purchase of the piece of equipment.
But what I was trying to find out is if you have the ultimate responsibility for serving those dunes, or is it just you're the closest fire department?
We are the closest point of response. So we, under an automatic aid agreement with County Fire and an agreement that expired August 4th or August 7th of this year with state parks, was the reason we've been responding out there. We are the closest point to respond. We can give the quickest service out onto the dunes. It makes good sense for that patient who is injured out on the dunes for us to respond. We can get there the quickest.
But
it is not our jurisdiction.
Very interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. I would think that Five Cities Fire Authority might look for some kind of a specific deal with state parks.
We have.
I mean, they're...
Yeah, in fact, General Manager Gieslin and I have gone to Board of Supervisors looking for a solution. And as I say, we have another meeting on October 23rd. We're looking for a solution to this, and hopefully we'll get there.
Please pursue it.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
And at this time, we were going to take a small break. It's OCSD Operations. Manager Gieslin needed to set up the camera. How long do you think you need, Tom?
2 minutes.
All right. Why don't we take a two-minute break then? It is 7:56 p.m.
You're not going to find me in this office 24/7 like you did last year. I'm going to be out working the problems that we have. We've got major compliance issues, which our president and vice president know about. We've got major electrical upgrades that we need to complete. We've got major components of our water distribution system that are antiquated and need to be set up. So that requires me being at the yard. It requires me talking to vendors. It requires me talking to our engineer, going over things. So when you call the office and I'm not here, I'm either in a meeting or I have a scheduled day off. For example, we had a scheduled day off on the 12th, and I worked from 11 till 4 because we had meetings and stuff to prepare for. So you're not going to find me strapped to that desk like you found me in the first year. So if there's any clarification that needs to be, and you call the office and I'm not here, then call my cell phone, or just call my cell phone if I'm already there. My phone's set up to take email, so you can shoot me email or whatever, and if you have any questions, feel free to go through the setup. So we've been focusing on the wells, and we've been focusing on our water distribution system, and we have several lines out in the field that need upgrading, and we also have actual distribution things in our yard. For example, if we have to discharge a well, three of the wells at the yard, you just open the spigot and the water just flows. Okay, that might have worked in the old days, but now, according to California Health and everything else, we have to release to atmosphere to a clear water well or to a tank. So we are going to be spending money to upgrade that system. And we are working with our engineer, and we're working with our suppliers to get the best deals possible to put that in place. Because our water is treated and it's chlorinated, we have to dechlorinate the water. So we've spent money on dechlorinating the water because you can't have chlorinated water running through. If it goes out in the street, it can go into a stream bed, and it can hurt the fish, or all the other environmentally sensitive stuff. So all those things have a cost. So we there again, we're shopping, we're working with our member agencies, trying to find the best deals available for the Sheriff's Department, the Fire Department, OCSD, and our booster stations in order to generate water. So you've heard in the Friday reports, Aaron talks about valve exercising and all that other stuff, and as we exercise these valves, we're finding lots of valves that don't work. When valves don't work, you can't execute what you're supposed to do. And all we would need is for that to be challenged by one of the agencies, and we would be in more pain than we would want to be. The nice thing about the stuff is that when we bring this stuff public, that opens us up for more grant money, which we can go forward, because now we can say, look, it's antiquated, it doesn't work, and we have a public safety issue. So we've been collecting the data on that. And that citation that we discovered, which I shared with you guys several months ago, as bad as that was, it actually works in our favor now because it shows we're quote-unquote correcting a problem that existed before. So today we prepared a CDBG grant, which we are submitting for two large-scale generators to go to Well 8 and to go to the water yard. The anticipation time, if we get approved, is probably 13 months. We have a fallback plan that we're also working should we not be granted that grant, and I don't know which way it's going to fall. We did turn in, we have some one-inch water lines that we turned in, and we got pushback saying because it's only going to work for 12 or 13 people versus the whole system as itself, we have much better chance if we came up with projects like that. So we stopped and put the generators in the setup. The biggest irritating thing for me, and I'll get to it when I talk about it, is that by the Sand District doing an appeal under this document that you should have already read, but I'll hand you another copy, we could have applied some of that stuff as compensating things, but as long as it's under appeal, anything we do does not go against that fine. So if, let's just say it's $1 million and we owe 330,000 of it, and we did a couple projects that would go against that. Well, unfortunately, we need to go get it done, and that appeal is going to drag on, so we're not going to get the credit for the work served on that. And I don't think it's worth waiting, but that's the way it's going to be. And Matt can address how the vote went when he talks about it. The accounting, we closed 11-12. We are coming to some sort of an agreement on that. Mr. Wallace was supposed to have a meeting with me yesterday, but he had to postpone it because he had to be up north for something. But we'll get a resolution on that. I've had people complain that, you know, we've asked for the top end and, you know, look at these other agencies. Well, that's really good if you're doing the negotiation, but you're not doing the negotiation. I'm doing the negotiation. And just like I don't want people playing my cards for me at a poker table, I'm not going to let people play my cards for me during a negotiation. We will come to some resolution, and the goal here is for it to be fair and equitable for everybody. The meeting that I came back for on the holiday was NCMA. We are extremely proud of the efforts that we put forward on that because our well monitoring techniques are actually, I think, going to be the benchmark for everybody else. And we are getting up-to-the-date data, and we are getting the ability to analyze things almost in real time. You know, granted, we meet once a month, but we have a historical data that gets distributed. All four agencies, PISMO, Grover Beach, AG, we're all working together on the water management plan, and we are all very sympathetic to each other's needs. We've worked real hard to share resources. We have a great relationship with both the Sand District resources and the Roy Grandy resources. I do need to notify you of a couple changes. Ben Fine will now take Ben Fine at Pismo Beach will now take Dwayne's job. That was announced. He's interim Public Works gentleman for Pismo Beach. Grover, their guy is Greg Ray, but Jim Gehring has also been filling in for him because they're on furloughs and short-staffed and everything that goes with it. We had a very productive meeting last week with the Sand District going over emergency response, and I need to for you guys to really understand that we are getting a lot of top-down pressure from the state to forward these mutual agreements where we act as one and we share resources when catastrophes hit or when there's problems. And you have to document all this stuff now in these plans and procedures, which we have a leg up on everybody else, another part of what some of this money's being spent for. But it's because we're being raked. Como had a booth there, and that's what that photographic that was the back of our booth to try and stimulate tourism. The Depot Association had part of the booth, and then we had our packing companies represented. We had things about businesses for both areas. People know of the melodrama, but that's about it. So it was the whole idea was hosted by Sunset Magazine, and we were in a big pavilion where the 10 unincorporated areas were represented by our booth and related other booths, and then Grover and AG and Avila had their own, and then various hotels had theirs as well. On Saturday, I believe they had close to 3,000 come through, and it was very, very hot. On Sunday, I was there from start to finish, and I would venture to say that we had as much as well. The other cool thing was Doc Bernstein's had their mini ice cream cone set up right across from us. Mm-hmm. So when people stopped for ice cream, it was very easy to drag them into the booth and pitch the beauty of Oceano and go forward. On tonight's agenda, you'll see three will serve letters that we want to take care of. A couple of them are old housekeeping issues, but we gave Steve Tanaka's some more, and I've been getting calls from developers about other opportunities in Oceano. So from that standpoint, having new water and sewer customers is exciting, and So that's what I have. Now, the video I'm going to show you is that in the summer times when the weather heats up, there's a thing called nitrification. And what happens is that when the treated water from Lopez comes down, as it heats up, there's a chemical reaction that takes place. And there's a delicate balancing act that all the agencies talk about on what to do when that happens. So we do what's called a live dose of chlorine, where somebody climbs up on the top of the tank and they supplement the treatment. And there's a set standard operating procedure. But we also, when we were going through our compliance records, found that our tanks hadn't been cleaned for almost 4.5 years. And because we were having nitrification issues and because we suspected that the things were dirty, I have the video of them doing two tanks, but I'll show you one and I'll explain it to you as we go along. Actually has the cameras in his mask. Okay, so that's what you're getting, the view of the diver. And he's in a dry suit and he's on top of our tank and he's looking how beautiful Oceano is right now. But you'll see them, they'll spray him down with stuff, because in order to go to that tank, he has to be sanitized. And then they're going to load down a high suction vacuum, which will, he'll do the floor, and then they have the vacuum mounted on a track system, and they will go and they will do the circumference of the tank. And I can probably move it up so you can actually see it.
Tom, it doesn't look like it's that long. Why don't you just let it play through?
See, if I'd have spent the money on what I needed to get, we would have
had it
already.
Damn computers.
For me, it was nice if it was just still.
I love technology when it works like it's supposed to. I think he said there's a quarter inch of sediment.
Everything's been covered up real good. No red
party. Pull him up on the rope.
So
going to do air hose.
So it appears, Tom, that he's vacuuming up the sediment there?
Yeah.
And that's how much collected over like 4 years?
Yeah, I think that's what he said, is about a quarter inch.
So
with that, we're going to go offline for a bit. And then when we start the wall cleaning, we'll come back online for that. Start that process. So with that, we'll go ahead and go offline, and we'll be back on again shortly.
Alright, thank you, Brad.
Very cool.
Alright, back online with our diver, Brad. He's starting the wall cleaning. Taking a look at the wall. There's just a very small amount of staining slash sediment on the wall. Not going to see too big of a difference. Liquivac's going to have a rotating brush on it, though, and it's going to be scrubbing the wall.
How often is that recommended?
Yeah, that's my question. Every 2 years? Yeah, so we're at least four out at this point, like 4.5.
Coming up really nice. If you can look up for me, Brett. That rope, look to the left. That rope right there. That attached to our vacuum line. It goes up and it just don't float. The vacuum just kind of sticks up. And it's making its way around the reservoir. So everything's coming up really nice. And with that, we'll go and pause video. Let Brad get back to work.
So the longer I'm not saying.
Alright, I'll live with our neighbor, Brett. Finish the wing process. Go ahead, Brett.
This does not make me want to be a diver.
And the other thing that cracks me up is that's an electrical wire.
What is the sediment? What is that chemical?
Sand, iron from the pipes. We have a lot of manganese in our water. That's what it is. Anything that's come through that pipe, anything that might have slipped through the system.
And that helps create a higher nitrate reading when those come through somehow?
Because of the nice clean tanks, and it was a pretty good exercise in
Tom, do all our water sources, because we are pretty diverse in the different types of water we bring into the area, do they all go through these tanks?
Yeah, state water and liquid water and our well water.
So everything that comes from behind the wall?
Except for well 5. The well 5 goes directly, we chlorinate directly. The well 5 is a backup, so they're in there.
Okay.
You see, they measure the size of if there's a weak spot that they see and it's out from the poor briar, poor came back pretty clean.
So I know that that it runs through one system before it comes down the...
That's correct.
Runs through the sand, I mean the Lopez Dam has there...
Through one, and then Lopez runs through another. And then our well water is chlorinated and then it goes into the tanks as well.
And so just... This little bit has collected from the processing plant up the creek, I should say.
It's collected from all sorts of sources.
We have pipes that have been in the ground for a long, long time. We used to keep one back here.
Right.
And remember, it had the hole in it and everything else from it wearing through. So you have iron from the pipes. We have total dissolved solids in our water, and it could be sediment from that. If you remember when they flush a hydrant, you get a lot of this stuff because the stuff sits on the bottom and the water flows through.
Right.
This is similar to what you actually see in real time, what that stuff looks like, and you got it in the jar in front of you.
Okay.
So we could take a couple minutes so Caroline could get back up, or that's an example of something we may need to repair.
Yeah.
That floor where the seam was in the well, is that what you're talking about?
Right. Okay.
And can we post this on the website? Because I think that people would be fascinated by it.
It's a pretty large
pretty
file.
Big file, yeah.
We can look into it.
You know, you can't be claustrophobic.
Maybe a couple of stills or something. A couple of frozen pictures.
Wow. Anything else, Tom?
Just questions.
All right. Is there any board questions for Mr. Giesen? Thelma?
No.
I think I interjected mine throughout.
Because both our auditor and Presley & Associates got tied up in those RDA things.
Right.
And the state keeps putting these absurd deadlines out that they have to go and meet. And so, it's like, what do you want us to do? And it's like, okay, we can get this done. Okay. So.
But at least it's ready for when the state needs
to
slow
ready.
Down and,
it's definitely
and figure it out. So thank you very much for that. Can you tell me a little bit, you work closer with the engineers in the water yard. And first of all, thanks for letting us know you're going to be in the field more because we creatures of habit, you know, we go looking for something in one place and it's decided that it's moved. So thanks for letting us know. But we did have a change in the staff for our engineering firm, and Doug was our key, and he's now moved on to greener pastures, I hope. How is the working relationship now for you?
That's fine.
It's fine.
It's all about business, and that's kind of how I like it, and we're going forward.
Oh, so he partnered you with Steve Tanaka?
Yeah, we're with Steve Tanaka.
Okay.
There's still some catch-up that has to be done because we had a lot going on with Doug, and Steve's jumped in.
So can you talk to me a little bit about the block grant? Did you apply straight to the state, or did you go?
We were going through the county.
So are you applying for unspent funds? That's usually what is released around this time is they start looking about who didn't spend it all,
and
the bidding war begins.
It's for next year. There's activity on unspent money right now,
mm-hmm.
but that's been
earmarked, promised.
That's been already earmarked for other projects.
Yeah. Okay. I was just wondering if it was unspent, you know, money, or if it was new next year money.
It's for next year.
Is there a reason why we didn't go directly to the state?
We are going to go to any place that we can find money. I got a line on there's some FEMA money available. I got a line on California Health. There's some rural water money available. And there's even some state money that we could possibly get, but I'm still working out all the T's and C's of that.
Okay. So thanks for following up with that. Okay, that was it I had.
Director White?
No questions.
All right. Next item on the agenda is item 7D, Board of Directors and Outside Committees. 7DA would be Director Angelou.
I don't have anything.
Okay.
We need it.
Sherman Guerrero?
Yes.
I was Herman last week.
We have a sheriff's spokesman back in the corner, in light.
He's just here to authorize a meeting. Jim Taylor normally gives a report.
Okay, thank you.
And we'd already pulled it from the agenda.
Yeah,
we already pulled it from the agenda, bud.
I do have an announcement for you guys.
You have an announcement?
Oh, good.
Well, yeah, it's kind of an advertisement for the sheriff.
Well, why don't we have you step up to the microphone so that...
Or we can make you wait longer.
I have an actual factual report for you guys for what's going on, other than the normal stuff, but... Commander Taylor wanted me to let you guys know that the Advisory Council and Boys and Girls Clubs from South County, they're going to put on a Halloween party. It's going to be the 27th at the Oceano Community Center, and they're going to have canine units, guys from DARE. I think they have some dress-up cartoon characters or something. They're going to have candy and games and stuff, so... Anyway, it's on the 27th from 11 to 2 at the Oceano Community Center.
11 a.m. to 2? Great. We can post one in our...
So I can leave this. This is the only copy I got.
Great.
I can leave that for you, and that's all I have.
What's your character you're coming as?
You know, actually, I probably won't be there. Unfortunately. But yeah, that's all I got, and I have no other report for you. I think Jim gives you guys another report, but I don't have anything.
We'll see him next month, as long as everybody's safe and sane tonight.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, Director Hurdle?
None, thank you.
All right, me, President Guerrero. My only one is the Sanitation District spill status, which is also under 9B, so we're going to defer that until then. And so I'll move on to VP Lucy.
Yep, busy woman this month. I guess it's not my karma, but... I attended the Water Resource Advisory Committee, which is always one of my favorite committees, RAC, better known as RAC. Director Angelou and I have been, you take 1 month, I'll take the next brutal month, you take 1 month, I'll take the next brutal month. And then Lori took RAC on, and positive about the RAC is that it's a means that I've been able to find to see what's happening in the North County. You know, because they have had a lot of projects and they have the new reserve online up there. And so I've been looking at their organizational structure and I brought a few recommendations, although gentle recommendations to Zone 3, but it was based on what the North County is doing. So that's the positive thing about RAC. They like to meet. Secondly, do you want to give the report on that?
I can, yes.
Yeah, go for it. I think I attended one more thing, too. Oh, and also, too, is I did attend the sanitation findings, and I won't say anything more on that until you do your report. And then Karen and I got to attend revitalization, and I'll let her take that because that was really fun.
It was a planning workshop called Building Communities, Oceano and Opomo. Actually, in retrospect, it was a little bit interesting, and I so wish that I had studied for 3 or 4 days the Oceano-specific plan, which 10 years ago spelled out what these people were trying to find out 10 years later without referring to the plan. It was very, very definitely a duplication of what has already been done. It was a little handicapped for Oceano in that they held it at the Monarch Club at the Woodlands Village, which is just about as far away from Oceano as you can go and stay in San Luis Obispo County. I don't know if everybody knows it, but it's way on the other side of the Napomo Mesa. And they asked us to the one thing that was real interesting is that they had a survey of our town, and they gave ranking in like storm damage. We had a D, and water supply, of course, we had an A, and there was a B, which I objected to, for sidewalk systems, and a D for parks. And it spelled out that Oceano only has 8% of the county standard for parks. So that means we are 92% short of parks acreage. It'd be wonderful if we could get that for either one of those things. We also listed facilities, our water and our sewer, as things that need work. And the D in storm drains, because some of that's already being done, and the rest of it in some ways links to curbs and gutters and sidewalks. Because until you get the curbs, gutters, and sidewalks built, you can't direct where the floodwater is going to go. And it runs helter-skelter because you only have half of the gutters and stuff. So that was some of the issues. I was surprised that we got a D in park and ride lots because we don't have any. But, I mean, some of these things were...
We're not next to the freeway? Is that why?
Well, and the schools, they said they give our schools a D, saying they were in excess of capacity, but they were using 2008 statistics, which were the last they could get. So they wanted us to look at this status of existing community facilities and tell them what we thought, and certainly Mary and I did. And if anybody wanted to see the information, I have it.
It was somewhat frustrating, though, because the town, a lot of people participated in upgrading, working on the what is it called now, Thelma? The
revitalization.
Revitalization.
The front street.
I keep wanting to say gentrification, but that's okay. The revitalization. So it was a little confusing to be asked by another group of consultants from another department at the county to provide the same information that the town showed up for, the board, the staff, everybody sat in this room filled and looked at a plan that and done the site visits, and people had committed and were very, very excited about it. To go up there and see another department somewhat duplicating, but then when I got home and I took their papers and I opened up the 04 approved plan, and they basically had photocopied it. They had photocopied it. And I don't know if Karen felt this way, but this man, and he kept throwing these pictures in front of me, saying, just pick a facade, just pick a fountain, just pick one. And And they were the same pictures from the 04 plan. And he was hell-bent on making Karen and I pick this horrific, you know.
From the California Strategic Growth Council. And they were looking at infill and looking at potential where the growth is supposed to be. But so much of that was already in the strategic plan. And as far as architectural, the architectural information was in the strategic plan. And I got somewhat frustrated by all these pictures because I don't know that sitting on this board we should tell them how the town's supposed to go, because that's going to depend on the people who are developing the town. And I sure as heck didn't want to add, by my choices, another $100,000 in the cost of building a building. I mean, that's not the way I would think that things should operate. Anyway, and I like the eclectic design. I think Oceana looks pretty good sometimes when you drive through it.
But it was facilitated by the county and steered by the county, and it was not a pleasant experience for me.
Did they say where the rubber meets the road? Like, do they plan on having something happen? Is it academic? What's the?
They're going to take something to the Board of Supervisors next year. Some kind of plan. I got the impression that they're talking about amendments to the general plan, and maybe something to do with changing the specific plan.
And also, too, the maps were not complete. The maps that they were only partial pieces of Oceano. They didn't have Pier Street. There wasn't the airport on there. The Strands weren't on there. So it
wasn't on there. The
sphere of Oceano. It was basically, the focus was on Front Street, mm-hmm. you know, and pick a picture, lady.
They did say that they would refer to the other planning that the Caltrans money has funded. They did say, oh, it's the same area, and they would refer to those, look and see what's happening on that, too, so maybe that we could at least get tie-in between the two.
Right. It was confusing.
And I also went to Zone 3 Tech, but they didn't do much, really. So, thank you.
All right. Being no further reports, thank you. Item number 8, public comment. Is there any other public comment this evening? I see Ms. Tacker standing. Evening again.
Center, this resolution for a revitalization committee, the Oceano specific plan. You're not a land use authority. I'm very interested in land use. I find everything that you've just talked about as very fascinating, and how it impacts Oceano is important. A way to include the public and include yourselves would maybe be to have a joint meeting with the Oceano Advisory Council in your room, under your television, and do some of your business, and then have them be part of the discussions that we're talking about with regard to land use. Because I have a concern with this resolution that was written. I know a considerable amount of time was spent on it, and I don't know if that was legal expense that I really don't think you have purview over. Another item that I don't know what this really means to support Cuesta College and its attempt to remain accredited. Who's against that? So I don't know how your board weighs in on that, but to support it, I think we all do. The other thing, because I'm presenting, I have to speak before you. I haven't heard the status of the South County Sanitation District. I only know what I read in the paper and what I saw when I attended the South County Sanitation's last board meeting. An action was taken in closed session and reported out that the district, the sanitation district, will be appealing. I understand that Mr. Guerrero voted in the dissent. I believe, just from kind of knowing each of you, that I think you support Mr. Guerrero's position on that. I would like to see your board go to closed session ask your legal counsel what your options are. I think you can review your position. I think sending a letter to the sanitation district specifically saying to reconsider the appeal is necessary. I don't think you want to take Oceano down that road. It's a legal, very costly legal battle, and you will not win. The last thought I had is a show of force would be to let the Wallace Group go from Oceano CSD. You need to send a message, and that message would be to sever your ties with the Wallace Group.
How they got to their findings that they got to, we do know what the findings are, and those are contained in a administration civil liability report draft order that's attached as item 9B to our particular packet and available to the public.
I have an extra one right here.
Does anybody need that? There is the, if you recall, the amount sought at the time that the ACL was filed was $1,388,707.50. The punchline is that ultimately the water board came back with a finding of $1,109,812.80. So it's about $275,000 approximately, rough math, lower than what was sought by the state. What was interesting in it is that they disagreed with the state on some of their aspects, and they disagreed with the sanitation district on some of their aspects. The initial spill volume that was calculated by the state was 1.1 million gallons of sewage that escaped. The sanitation district at the hearing presented two spill volumes. One was about 475,000 gallons, and the other one was 674,000 gallons. The 674,000 gallons was a number that was determined from reviewing the state's data and doing the redoing the calculations with what the sanitation district felt was more appropriate, and that was ultimately what was adopted by the water board, was the 674,000 gallons, a number proposed by the sanitation district. The defense of upset was rejected. An upset is an unintentional temporary non-compliant with technologically based permit effluent limitations because of factors beyond the reasonable control of the permittee. An upset does not include non-compliance to the extent that it's caused by improperly designed treatment facilities, inadequate treatment facilities, lack of preventative maintenance, or careless or improper operation, and also failure to protect, in this case, from a 100-year flood. What the water board found was improper maintenance. Discharge, they said the discharger, which is the South San Luis Obispo sanitation plant, failed to properly maintain an emergency pump by keeping an effluent valve closed. The operator's inability to fully the emergency pump, and the valve was closed. The maximum fine that could have been imposed was $6,754,000. Again, the proposed fine is, or the levied fine is, 1.1. There were a few factors. What they do is they take the spill volume and then they use multipliers. Some can raise the fine, some can lower the fine. The maximum aggravation or factors in aggravation can be 1.5, and here it came in at 1.4. This is almost the highest factor in aggravation that they could have, or calculation. What's the term I'm looking for, Tom? I'm trying to think. What would you call this multiplier? Would it be factors in aggravation? I'm thinking of probation terms. I don't think that's quite right. That's what's stuck in my head, though.
Culpability.
Culpability. Yeah, it's a culpability factor that's a multiplier, and they came in at a 1.4, which is almost the highest that they could have been. The highest would have been a 1.5. They pointed to a couple of things. On page 6, item A, they say the discharger, who is the district, demonstrated a general intent to comply with discharge requirements. They knew of the risk of flooding and the issue of the underground utility box containing electrical cables. The discharger did not implement the proposed improvement project that would have prevented the December 2010 sewer overflow and thus partially compromised in their above prohibition of the permit. So what that is they were on notice of a problem, according to the findings here, and the district did not take action to correct that.
When you say district, you're clear. It's the SAN district.
The sanitation district did not take it. They found six factors, actually, that basically they used in their culpability findings scale to show negligence on behalf of the administration and the board. And the first one was they were not protected from a 100-year flood. The plant had to be in such a condition that if there were a 100-year flood, it could still handle it. The reason they say it was not protected is because the evidence didn't show that this was a 100-year flood. So the second reason was improper standard operating procedures to have the valve closed. The third was improper sampling after the storm, redundant pumping, because all four pumps were on the single switch. So what happens is there were four affluent pumps. There was one, what's called a shunt trip, which I liken to a breaker. Once that one went, all four pumps went down. And so I think the argument here is there should have been some redundancy, four shunt trips above the level of the water. This wouldn't happen. And then number six, they failed to provide a reliable emergency pump. According to the testimony, the emergency pump that kept stopping, they knew was wrong. And according to the testimony, they'd been told to send this pump back and get one that worked. It didn't happen. So that's why the culpability factor was almost as high as it can be, a 1.4. Again, the maximum would have been 1.5. Cleanup and cooperation, they gave them a 1, and history of violations, a 0.9, which is actually interesting. They report that the discharger had no history of sewage overflow violations in recent years. This may be where the rub is, because it could have gone from a 0.5 all the way up to a 1.5. A 0.5 would be the best possible score for not having history violations. And so they went with a 0.9, which is just below neutral. So ultimately, the board did meet at 6 o'clock that evening. I think this came out around 3:45 or 4 o'clock. The board did meet around 6 o'clock, and there was a 2-1 vote to go ahead and appeal the decision of the board. As I don't know if you guys know, but I was the one dissenting at that time. So I'd like to share with you why, but I think it's a closed session discussion. I don't think I can, right, Chase? Okay, then I'll keep it to myself. The standard operating procedure has since been changed. I wanted to let the community know a couple of other things. The audits for 10-11 have not been completed yet, nor for 11-12 for the sanitation district. Those are, the 10-11 is set to be presented at, John sent me an email today. I want to say it's the last meeting of the month, but I think it's the first meeting of next month, which would be November 7th. They'll have the audits available for the sanitation district. There's also there's a lot of stuff happening in November. There's an election. There's the administrator review and high numbers from the plant. So
they had a spill while they were passing down the fine?
No, it's not a spill. It's probably something with breakdown in the plant or something. They're having high fecal coliform, and that's a
chlorinator?
Yeah, it could be.
Floating logs is a spill.
It's a difficulty in cleaning the water before it discharges into the ocean.
And so that is attached actually to the back here if anybody wants to see it. This was something that came out. And so, you know, I don't know if it's going to lead to another investigation, potential fines. We'll see what happens. A breakdown in the plant, we'll see. So any comments?
Well, I have a lot of questions, but I'll let other people go first.
I do have a comment. In light of the findings and the culpability, I find it really very interesting that our district and the other agencies or areas that are serviced by the sanitation district would I find it hard to justify us paying for this. I don't like this. This is a company. I think that by their negligence, they let us down. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate the fact that they might want to appeal to get a lesser levy. However, despite how this comes out, any payment that comes from us, I think, should come under protest, and I think that we should even challenge it before. This is just unacceptable. If there were a question of what happened, but we know what happened, and it's in black and white. And the other thing that I find very interesting is that a district like this and what the service they provide would not have some type of liability insurance to cover their clients in case something like this happened.
Can I answer two things before I lose track? The claim has been tendered, and it was Tom who really was the driving force on this that got this claim tendered to the insurance
company.
I know,
but they tendered it
a year after the district budget. Mm-hmm. And whether or not it would have been covered, well, that remains to be seen. We're getting a coverage letter. The second thing is the fine is coming out of the South San Luis Obispo Sanitation District's budget. It's not coming back to OCSD unless there's a 218 rate increase mm-hmm. to pay for it.
Exactly, and that's my point, right? Because what choices do we have, you know, at this point? And I don't think that anything should be levied against the district.
Oceano.
Right. Or anyone else, actually, right, because right. It was their negligence, but I'm representing Oceano.
Right, exactly. You know...
Were you done? I'm sorry.
Yes,
sorry.
I am. You know, the Sand District has been a headache to all of us, and the matter is that nobody will step forward besides Oceano and take a lead on removing the current administration in there. And so as long as Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande continue to support John Wallace and his absent performance or non-performance, nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change at the Sand Districts. Oceano's always going to vote no, and Grover and particularly Grover Beach, and AG is going to pat him on the back and say, go in there and do what you got to do with the taxpayers' money. So I would beat the streets to stop the Sand District from penalizing the ratepayers, even for the people of Grover and AG. But two things need to happen. One, there has to be a change in leadership at the Sand District. It has to happen. Until you get rid of the liability, which is the administrator, you're just going to continue to be paying and paying and paying. Now these two yahoos from AG, Arroyo Grande, and Grover Beach, right, have decided that they're going to appeal, which is another $1 million, so they can justify coming to us and saying, we got to cram this down the ratepayers' throat. If Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande had true leaders in there, they would do the right thing. The administrator is a liability. He needs to be removed. The man is not on site no more than 2 days a week. We pay him astronomical amounts of money. The legal counsel, I you know what? I'm going to come back. It continually supports this administrator's messes. They cover for him every single time. And it's just now they've decided their egos are going to file an appeal. You better bank on that being another mill. So just look at that fine. It's probably, I don't know, close to a $3 million fine when they get done playing. You know, so I'm furious. So I suggest that our two neighbors, if they care about the ratepayers in their area, they're going to change leadership of the Sand District, rewrite the policies and procedures. That board has got to be more than three. Otherwise, you're constantly going to have people who are going to get overridden. At minimum five people, and get rid of that administrator. I mean, it's been proven in three venues that he was negligent. Three different venues. We determined he was negligent. The county determined he was negligent. I went to the county 4 days after the flood and said, please, this is human error. Please step in. Clean the mess up. Let's do what we can. And the supervisors looked at me like I was an annoyance to them. So, you know, we got to take it into our own hands, bud. And I thank you for having the courage to stand up to Mr. Nichols and Mr. Ferraro and voting against them, because I know they try their best to be very, very intimidating. So thank you from a ratepayer's perspective, and good luck.
When can we find out what the legal fees are for South Sand? Not the $75,000 that is a part of the fine from the other side, but
right.
And if this is going on, there's going to be more and more and more legal fees, mm-hmm. and that just adds to the fine. You know, the fine is 1.1.
Mm-hmm. But then they hired the attorney up in Sacramento, and well, I know that one payment was $65K to her.
Well, actually, I'd like to add something on that. There was, the reason, if you'll recall, I voted against the budget that was approved in June. And the reason was because I didn't feel that it reasonably reflected what we were actually spending. And I stated that out loud. I said this didn't, you know, we're spending more than this in legal. They only budgeted $200,000 for this year, including expert fees. I believe it's over $300,000. Remember, that's starting July 1st.
And what does Mr. Sykes, their attorney, get paid? $265,000?
I don't, with the sanitation district. But I've asked that all of his billings be broken out so that the community can have a true understanding of what this is actually costing. Because they're not operations in a part like we got a new pipe or we got a new parking lot or we got a new, you know, they were there to deal with the spill. And probably the other litigation matters, the personnel issues that came secondary to the spill. Because remember, there were three lawsuits that got filed by employees after the spill as well. So.
Well, one of those was before the spill, wasn't mm-hmm. it?
Yeah. I think so.
Oh, one of them was, you're right. I'm sorry, there was two. I think the one lady was before
the lady who was.
I'm sorry. Again, yeah. It was before my time.
Yeah, I know that.
I've just been on it this year.
Yeah.
So it's before my time. And so that's been an issue. I think the community would want to know if there ever is coverage, if it ever can go retroactive. I'd like those bills separated out so that we can ask the carrier to pay them if we ever get coverage, because it's a lot of money. I think that if you look at the warrants, we've been paying Wallace $50,000 to $80,000 a month, and if you look at the minutes, he said most of it's related, at least from the last month or two, has been related to the spill.
So, does he bill the Sand District and then turn around and bill Wallace Engineering too for the same services?
I don't think so. I don't think he can double dip.
Well, you're not supposed to, but, you know, weirder things have happened under that leadership. So
doesn't he get paid for being the administrator, and then also Wallace Group does do some...
The contracting engineering
right.
and contract administrator as well.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's been the issue. I had another point.
It's like double dipping.
I'm having a senior moment. But that's one of the reasons that I report. I understand that the other councils aren't reporting back as much on this issue as we are. I haven't been to the other councils.
Vocal about it.
Is that right, Julie? Do you know? I don't think they're reporting as much, are they?
No, they've got a resolution in the right branding to encourage better communication between directors.
And
oh, really?
So what she said is they've had a resolution to encourage better direct communication between the councils. That makes sense. I think that's one thing we try to do, as small as we are.
Well, when I attended the meetings, they weren't going to report on it all, except for we had shown up, and it was buried under, they called Tony's reports.
Mm-hmm.
He had it covered.
Well,
part out with the contract, you know.
And that's up for review next month.
Okay, so I'd like to make a motion that Oceano Community Service District, as a participating member of the Sanitation District, review and determine administrative services at the Sanitation District. Does that make any sense? Was that even a complete sentence?
It was. I'm still processing.
I move that we review the engineer contract, not the engineer, the administrator contract for the Sanitation District, and at that time, the Board of Directors take action as to continue the relationship or sever the ties. No matter what, we can't control how Grover Beach is going to stand next to their man and AG is going to stand next to their man. We can't control that, but we as a little community can control our participation and our fair share too. Yeah. Well, we can just at least minimize the damage.
What Ms. Tacker said is we still have to defend John Wallace as if there's a case.
Yes.
Even if we change administrators.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I hear is a resolution to review the contract and for the board to take a position for me to take back to the Sanitation District. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a second?
It's a motion.
Yeah, it's a motion. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes. Thank you, Chase.
So it needs a second or it dies.
Okay. I have a motion and a second. And so all in favor, let's say aye.
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 Is there any opposed? Okay. That carries 5-0. We'll put that on the agenda for next, the 24th, October 24th, to review that contract. And we have that contract already. The contracts. Actually, there's three, aren't there? There's two. There's district engineer and district administrator.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I know that Mr. Gieselin's been working on our administrative relationship with Mr. Wallace and, well, actually with the Sand District. And is that continuing to move forward? Or?
We're just addressing issues as they come up.
Yeah.
I wonder if we should contact our neighborhood communities and consult with their communities at all.
You know, the appeal has to be filed within 30 days, which would be November 2nd. So
I don't know who or how that would be.
I don't know what the limitations are on me going to anybody's board.
Yeah.
I'm on that particular board. I might have a Brown Act problem.
But, yeah.
Or Chase, are they precluded from talking to, do you know?
Question?
The question is whether or not individual board members can speak to other board members.
On the same board?
No, of their, like say for example, if Director Hurdle wanted to go talk to
Grover
or somebody on AG's council that's not on the Sanitation District.
No, I don't think, well.
Microphone, sir?
Microphone.
Under public comment, we could.
Yeah, absolutely.
As a ratepayer.
Yeah.
Okay, well, they're not on the same board.
Correct. And, that's the issue.
Right. They're not on the same board, so
letter?
I think that's okay.
Letter questioning their actions. I don't.
I was going to say, why don't we send a letter to the city councils and ask them?
What do they think they're doing to us?
Yeah.
What do they think they're doing to the ratepayers?
Right.
Did they vote on going to appeal? Did they vote on spending? Is
I
it
don't,
enlist
I don't know.
Their bank accounts? No, they're banking on passing it off to their ratepayers.
Right.
We're not doing that. I'll stop flushing toilets. Unfortunately, Wallace seems to be the only one who can run a pipe.
All right, so I think we've... There's no action tonight other than to bring it back to review on the October 24th agenda.
Won't help any on the appeal, though.
Have a question, Matt.
Really won't help on the appeal.
Probably not.
Well, if you can stop it.
Go ahead.
Can We request to see the breakout for the attorney as far as, you know, his, what he's been doing, because we never, I remember looking at the things too. You don't know really what you're paying for, because there's nothing broke out for him or Wallace. And it would be nice to see how much was allocated for this particular problem or other things that were within the district.
It should be noted that we did make a major public records request, which is yet to be satisfied.
Date had been here.
Yeah.
And requested all billing information.
Right.
For Wallace and I believe for Sites, and they just said, I'm paraphrasing, I should just refer to the letter. I can't remember. I don't have it with me, but they said, we're not going to give that to you. And they didn't, so.
I don't remember what the letter said.
I can't recall either.
I just chalked it up to the typical cavalier attitude that they've showed Oceano from the get-go.
Yeah.
My biggest concern is when they have a sanitation district meeting, granted it's not on TV, mm-hmm. but nobody from the community comes forward. It's the same people.
Yeah. Because they're verbally abused, and there's no witness of being verbally abused. I've been verbally abused. I know that Director Angelo's been verbally abused. Many people who sit there and have one of the three directors tell you to sit down and shut up. And until AGP and there's policies and procedures put in place, that continues to go on. You know, and trust me, it's not Oceano's rep
but
who speaks that way.
I think maybe we should do a reach out to the community of Oceano and try and get people to come and attend those meetings, regardless of whether they're going to get beat down or not.
Yeah.
Well, we had, you know, that reminds me, because you were talking about, because I was with, I think that when Tom Gieselin and John Wallace met to talk about the billing, I was there, and I felt conflicted, and so I made a comment about that in the public meeting, that I felt conflicted, because if it's good for Oceano, it might be bad for the sanitation district. If it's good for the sanitation district, it might be bad for Oceano. Yeah. And so I took the opinion that, look, I don't think I can be involved in these negotiations. But what was Nichols' comment to me when I
told you to keep your comments to yourself?
Keep your opinions to yourself or something.
Ultimately, yeah. But I think that, and there was something, and so anyway, so we did get an opinion from Mike Seitz off the cuff that was, as long as everybody's doing it uniformly, the board can take uniform action.
But until the public comes out in all three areas and says, look, we've got major problems with this, nothing's going to happen. It's the way it is.
We have a rogue district. That's the bottom line, is we got a district run amok. And it's not OCSD.
Maybe it's time to put the word out that we do need public attendance.
Yeah, I'll
so,
bring chain you know, and padlock.
We can get verification on this stuff.
We'll call this meeting back to order. It is 8:27 p.m.
Well, there sure is.
Moving on to item number 9E, support Cuesta College, board to discuss a support
That's
of Cuesta College.
That's actually not it, is it?
It's what? I'm sorry? Oh, I'm sorry, we're on 9D.
Right.
I'm sorry, I skipped. Water service invoice adjustment. DA
right.
is the Risigliano residence,
365. Okay. I gave you a staff report, but let me give you a history. So, and I always mess up their name, but the Risigliano people, which was included in your board packet, they are. They own a very nice vacation home on McCarthy, and he has it all securitized, and there's cameras and the whole thing. And they had an incident where they had a very, very high water use. And we went over, when I say we, the boys went over and looked at all their stuff. They could find no incidental leak, no incident of water. We talked with the neighbors to see if they saw water running down the street. Abnormal sprinklers, nothing. We can't pin it. And then we were periodically monitoring. And I don't know if you remember what Bill Smith went through, but he had an incident where somebody, the water was so high. And then we also had the thing with Portugal. So we've already set a precedent that it needs to come to the board for you to decide what kind of credit you're willing to give them on this issue. And I believe it's right around $200 is the anomaly on the bill. So I need you to decide, discuss, let me answer questions, and then the other one I'll discuss on its own merits.
At least it's not $1,300 this time.
Yeah.
Is this the billing for on 531-2012 for 422?
This is 365 McCarthy?
It's 365 McCarthy.
Yeah. So that, the bill was 422-16.
Right. And we've been, until we got this resolved, we've been keeping 200 and change in abeyance until we get this resolved. And you're the only ones that can resolve this issue.
Maybe Lori or somebody can remind me, but this is one of the streets that after the earthquake, all the piping was replaced on that street.
Juanito, I think, was hit harder, Juanito, which is the next street over, but I know
that... No conclusive evidence. I'm not going to call a customer a liar about saying nothing was leaking. We talked to the neighbors. We look for anything suspicious. I asked, Linda Austin's crew goes up and down that street on a regular basis. But it did happen to Bill Smith in his facility. And, nobody knows what happened to the Portugals. Mm-hmm. There's very little irrigation.
Yeah.
So it's a confusing matter. So he's requesting $200 be credited to his account.
And he has cameras all the way around his...
He has cameras on it.
And he doesn't he hasn't caught anybody stealing water?
Well, the cameras went up after this event.
Okay.
And given his efforts to alleviate and remediate the situation, I'd support giving him a refund on it.
Well, it wouldn't be a refund, it'd be a credit.
Credit.
Okay. I don't know how the rest of you feel. But.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised as far as theft of water, because we have people that come down and hook up to the faucets at our business.
Can you speak up, Director Angela?
I'm sorry. I said we've had people come up and hook up to our hose bibs and stuff at the shop, and either we'll come in and catch them doing it, or they'll actually pull up and hook it up like nobody's there, and we go out and say, "What are you doing?" So it's a possibility that a lot of times they'll... won't fill their trailers coming over, and they'll mm-hmm. wait till they get here to fill them because
right.
of the better gas mileage and the weight of the vehicle. So it's a possibility, because there's a lot of vacation homes there on McCarthy.
Was there was there anybody next to them that had a shutoff maybe? They ran a hose over or something?
I don't know. He's just around the corner from... What's the road that Linda's office is on?
Lakeside.
So he's just around the corner. It's a beautiful place,
mm-hmm.
And it's very secure, but he did have this one hose bib on the side that had access to, but they, since this event happened, they've been locking it.
Yeah.
And then the boys go by and check on it periodically. So, like I said, this guy is... with one of the sheriff's office down in Southern California, there's no reason for him to...
It's a lot of water.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's more than a couple motorhomes.
Right.
Well, I'd be supportive of splitting it with him, but I'm somewhat reluctant. We split the increase, which I think is $200, and so we would absorb...
Wait, Mary, before you... The billing was $422. So, and he's asking for $200 credit
for
that.
He paid $200 of that.
Okay, I see.
So he's asking for relief on the $200.
So he's asking us to credit him the difference between the $200 he's paid?
No, we would just give him $200 credits on his future bill. Instead of the part that's hanging out there, we would give him credit. But if Director Lucy wants to cut that in $100, that... You know, that's your
okay. I just want to make sure what I was looking at here.
Yeah, if we had extra resources in the, and the community hadn't just gone through a rate increase and stuff like that, it's $200. But I just think it's fair to the ratepayers to, because it's not our fault or
mm-hmm.
we've right. checked everything.
Right. I will second that for discussion, and what I'd like to say is basically what you're saying, Mary, we're not responsible for stolen or purported theft, And based on that, I do second your emotion. I second that emotion. I second that emotion.
If you feel like loving me.
That's a song, yeah. I second.
All right, I have a motion and a second to split the difference, be a $100 credit back to the customer. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0.
Okay, this next one, normally I would have handled this myself, but David Sanchez and I have been friends for 17 years, and we play golf together in my world-famous Monarch Dunes Golf Men's Club, and I did not want anybody to say that I was given any consideration to my friend. So let me give you he has a rental at 1311 19th. While he had a renter in there, they had a toilet valve stick, and it was flushing water down the lateral into the main. That main is on 19th, just south of the water yard, and we have the big pine trees there, and we have occasional backups where we have rooted and cleaned the lines. In this case, it's a double, couldn't handle it. It backed up. And it flooded the house, and he got a bunch of insurance work done. But he had a $600 plumbing bill. And we've gone back and forth on this several times. And he asked me to bring it to the board for a decision. So you have the plumbing leak reports there. You have our consumption history. It was clearly a leak. When somebody has a documented leak, we adjust their water, but in this case it resulted in a spill. And in my opinion, neither side is without fault. He needs to make a change to his lateral because we're responsible to the street. Mm-hmm. And we need to, that's one of the lines that we need to fix. So,
but this also, this had a massive grease buildup that was probably some, and this doesn't, this lateral only run to the one
right
trunk line?
Right, but mm-hmm. If we look at all our lines, they all have a lot of grease because that's the nature of our community. Mm-hmm. And even though we have, we put guidelines out, we right still dump a lot of grease. I mean, you've been in the lift station.
Right.
You wouldn't expect to see a lot of grease down on McCarthy and Strand and
there
that,
is,
but there's plenty of it. So,
I'm sorry, am I reading this wrong? Did he already get a discount, $500?
No, that they were going to put the new lateral in.
Okay.
And then he told them not to.
Okay.
And so we need to make a decision on what we want to do.
Okay, what exactly is he wanting?
What?
What exactly does he want?
He's looking for help on that plumbing bill.
That is our obligation by law.
Okay. Can I
sure
say something on this? On the camera, right? Matt just explained to me that they ran it all the way out to the lateral. Okay, so the property owner is responsible for 36 inches off the property line. At that point, there's only a few communities that are responsible for it from 36 inches and out. Oceano and Cambria are two of the districts. For example, if you were in Grover and you had a spill 6 feet off your property line, it doesn't matter. You're going to have to pay for it all the way out to the lateral. Oceano, Cambria, and I'm not sure what other areas, 36 inches off the property line, we absorb the cost.
Tell them about it.
Right, the tenants are gone because they came in and it's typical spill, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what he's asking for.
So he's asking for $680?
No, a portion refunded back from the plumbing bill.
From the what? I'm sorry?
A portion of that $680. He's not asking for the whole $680.
Do we know what portion?
I don't negotiate that. That's, you've got to make a decision.
So our decision is whether to give him any portion of this back, and if so, how much? Karen, you usually have a clear head about these things. What do you think?
Well, I don't completely understand the part of it that... Where's the liability for the district? from 30, it was combination of him and the district's facility?
It's a combination of him and the district because that one line gets inundated with tree roots, and tree roots collect whether our client base dumps grease down the pipes. It's
yeah.
just the nature
yeah.
of the business. So when it gets on that stuff, then sewage water can't flow. He had a running toilet. It was a clear water flow. And a running toilet going down that line wasn't good enough
to clear
capacity
it.
That it backed up.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
We're liable to the property line, or he's liable to the property line, but there's even though it was cameraed and because of the situation there, I believe he's justified in saying, wait a minute, a backup toilet shouldn't have caused a spill.
Half and half.
Well, which also shows why we need our jetter.
Right, that's why we need our jetter. That's why right. we need to do the rooting. You know, we haven't done that type of PM.
Right, right.
Well, considering we haven't done due diligence, what about half and half?
That's your decision.
What's staff's recommendation?
I can't give you staff's one. I just explained it to you.
Sorry.
Thelma?
I'd second
the half and half is perfect. I mean, he's admitting his fault, and we recognize what we did.
I make a motion.
And he proved that he had
yes.
Right.
I make a motion.
Okay, go for it.
That we, I don't know whether we refund or we
credit his bill.
We credit, is that what we're doing? Crediting his
account.
President of Cuesta College, and if you've been following it in the Tribune, Cuesta is very diligently working to maintain their accreditation. What happened at Cuesta College was not unlike what happened here. There was management that didn't fit the situation, and Cuesta having a lot of part-time faculty got hit with a lot of educational regulations that needed to be updated.
Sorry, Tom, and we got distracted. I think a skunk just...
What?
I think a skunk just went off.
Oh.
Sorry. We got distracted.
Okay. So anyways, long story short, he presented the state of Cuesta at this luncheon. Mm-hmm. They're doing community outreach because they've got a six-man team which contains one of the regents for the community college system, and he's looking for community support for Cuesta. And so I'm asking your permission to write a letter that we'll all sign saying that we need this educational institution in our
county.
In our county.
It's an important resource. It's the only community college.
Yeah, I was going to say that's
too,
it.
So I think that's kind of a no-brainer. Do you have some suggested language you want to go ahead and...
Yeah, I do. And I, okay. But I just there's a time period that it needed to be active, and I didn't dare write it without your permission. So
I'm fine with that. I think we should direct staff to go ahead and draft a letter for signature, and go ahead and we can all come in individually and sign it by Friday.
Is that... Yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay.
Okay.
So why don't we do that?
You want to make a motion?
I don't think we need a motion, do we? It's just a...
Direction.
Yeah, I think it's just direction. Okay.
Yeah.
So that'll be the direction of staff. Thank you, Tom. Item 10A, will serve letter APN 062102-021 OCSD project 6451, owner project legit as
okay.
built.
I have engineer reports on all things and take them to number one.
Oh, no. A nice skunk.
All right, we've just received an engineer permit from Steve Tanaka. Go ahead, Tom, if you want to.
And I don't know if they bought it in a foreclosure, but they bought it as is, and there was unpermitted additions mm-hmm. on it, so they needed to go back to the county and get it recertified. We've been serving them water forever, and this is just saying that we'll continue to serve water even though these changes were made a long time ago. So fires reviewed it, we reviewed it, we have no issue with it, and recommend that it go forward. There's not going to be any additional sewer expansion, any water expansion. It's just an unpermitted part of the house that they needed to clarify. So I'm asking for approval on that one.
I have no concerns. Anybody else have any?
No.
So I need a vote.
All right. I'll move to approve item 10A. Can we give them a will serve?
Second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Moving on to item 10B, will serve letter APN 047-128-023. This is the Barker Hobby Room Studio Workshop. Tom?
Right. So Barker is, they're in Canyon Crest. And so on, if you look at Steve Tanaka's report, he's reviewed it. There's no additional water sewer impact. It's a addition to a home in Canyon Crest, which we wheel water for, but we have to go through and...
You know, these just don't make sense to me why they have to have a wheel serve from us.
Because that's the county rule they have to have.
It makes no sense to
me. And actually, in some ways, it protects us, because let's just say the guy's going to put a granny quarters on or whatever, then it needs to be protected, so we have to document it. So it's just taking care of business.
Well, I get where it goes from a two-bedroom, one-bath to a four-bedroom, two-bath.
Okay, so he's doing a hobby... A room, a porch, and a bathroom.
Hobby room, porch, and a bathroom.
So, 1,200 more feet onto an existing three-bedroom, three-bath house?
Right.
It's like there would be more water.
No, there should be no, there's no impact on this.
What defines a hobby room separate from a room?
Probably just what he's calling it. I don't know. Maybe it's got a pool table.
Yeah, it's gonna make
but it's a porch. And Steve's reviewed it. We've reviewed it. Fire's reviewed it. We're good. But I need your approval.
I move that we approve.
I'll second. All in favor say aye.
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 I have to abstain.
Oh.
I know some Barkers, but I don't know if this is the same group.
Okay.
Abstain or recuse?
Recuse, I'm sorry.
But Director Angela's right. Recusing herself because she may have a conflict for knowing the people. Okay, let's try that vote again. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0. All right, item 10D, will serve letter APN 062-282-060.
Well, let me. I didn't get a chance to explain the pullback on that. So, on Terrell, the reason why I want to pull back is because we got plans, but the plans were they weren't architecturally approved. She owns a lot. She wants to hook up an RV and have the RV on the lot, and so we're going back over all the county conditions, and fire needs to check it out as well, because it'll just be the RV on the lot.
Okay.
So we need to go back and go through that.
And that was item 10C.
That was C.
Watching at home.
All right.
I don't believe you can do that, can you?
I don't believe you can either, but we're until we do that, we need a determination from everybody. So.
Yeah.
Okay, back to D.
Will serve letter. This is the Langford Patio and Workshop.
So here's the deal. My favorite agency, the Air Pollution Control District, had the fugitive dust rule. And Dr. Langford is a strong proponent of the fugitive dust rule. And there are other people in this world that aren't proponents of that. And so somebody did Google mapping and noticed from Google mapping that the footprint of her place had changed. So she got called in by code enforcement. They went in and did an inspection. We've been serving water there for several years, and we now had to go back through because of the modifications, and I believe it's 105 square feet of modifications. So we now have to go through it. But because it was political in nature, we dotted every I and crossed every T. So fire went through it, we went through it, planning went through it, code enforcement went through it. Even though we already serve her existing,
yes.
And it's
somebody
and
turned her in.
I don't need, nor do you need, any of the headache. So we went through everything. Normally we would have signed this off and sent it up, but just to make sure, we went through all the setup, fire, code enforcement, our engineer reviewed it. Matter of fact, it was one of the last things Doug did before he left, and everybody's fine with it. Every I's dotted and T's crossed, so I need you to approve it.
I move that we accept APN 062-282-660.
Laura, you may have to recuse.
Yeah.
Yo, you already did that?
Miss Angela's recusing
I'm
herself.
On this one, I am.
Because okay. She's too close.
Oh, you...
Well, it's not so much that I'm too close, I don't think.
Your businesses.
Oh, my business would be, yeah, that's right.
So
it's across the street, yeah.
So you're recusing yourself, right?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so I move that we accept...
Wait a minute, she's got to say why.
I'm recusing myself because I have property located within 500 feet of her property.
So go on, get... Okay,
go ahead, Laura. Or,
Mary?
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I move that we accept APN 062-282-060, project number 6446, the Langford / patio and workshop will serve letter. I move that we accept staff recommendations and approve it.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0. Okay. Ms. Angela can come back.
Thank you.
Moving on to closed session items. Number 11, there's none. Number 12, board member comments. Why don't we start with Karen this time?
Yeah, I forgot to announce that the Arroyo Grande City Council approved the Pike development project by 7-Eleven at Aylman Pike last night.
Oh.
It's still a multi-use project, but they did away with the 1,000-square-foot commercial building that will be used for parking and a park, and they are calling it a public park. And the 7-Eleven will be linked to them. They will refurbish the 7-Eleven to match the development that's going in there.
Are they going to stucco it or something?
I don't know. I didn't see the plans.
They have some pictures.
But it was approved.
They just repaved it like a year and a half ago. Do you know, Tom, why they repaved it again?
Because they're trying to keep the neighborhood happy.
The Elm Street?
Yeah, on Elm.
In Lancaster?
You're right. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, they're going to tear it up again.
Steve Adams with them, that answer.
I'll ask Steve Adams. Yeah. I'm sorry, Karen.
Anyway, they're going to put it where the ditch is on the east side of Elm Street. They're going to be putting a pipeline in there anyway, so they're going to be tearing it up again.
Again?
Yeah.
They just repaired it last month. After.
But at least having more open land in that development will ease what I envision to be pressure on the Halcyon Cemetery and the Halcyon Ag development, because those people will actually have a place to walk their dogs and for the kids to play. So I'm pleased.
And was the developer even willing to consider trying to take some ownership as to being responsible and some kind of barrier around that cemetery?
I don't think he was ever asked. You think the planners shot it down first?
The county planners or their Arroyo
City,
Grande?
City.
Arroyo Grande. So they're going to build on their postage stamp. Here you go, Tigers.
Our Vice President Lucy?
I have something that we need to maybe start looking at is since Oceano has chosen to keep our groundwater aquifers healthier by not pumping. Our neighbors are pumping at maximum. And I just think there needs to be a meeting of the minds here. Because we're not pumping doesn't give neighboring entities the authority to pump out basically our water. Because Oceano has, pulled back environmentally, And it doesn't mean that you get to overpump because you didn't buy into future water needs. So I really would like to start looking at, I know that Grover is, and I don't mean to target them, but they are next door and they are pumping to full capacity. But I kind of feel that Oceano is once again being taken advantage of a little bit there, is that we do have this resource, a little bit of water. We've chose to try to refurbish the ground, you know, try to keep the aquifer healthy, and the neighbors are pumping it out. So either we can sit down and talk about it, and or we can rate payers of Grover, but Oceano, you know, that's our water, and if we're going to give it away free, you know, then we'll give it to the own community, but it doesn't, it's not a green light to pump.
Overpump.
And so I'm slightly concerned there. So I don't even know how to take it forward. Can't take it to the county. So maybe as the president and staff, maybe, you know, some negotiations are talking about the ethics of...
That's an interesting issue.
Water ethics.
You know, how many fights are we going to pick?
But good neighbor policies.
Oh, good neighbor policies. That's right. So maybe we could start a dialogue on good neighbor policies, and I'll stop bringing their names.
There's got to be precedent on that.
Yeah.
People.
Don't steal.
I need to remind you that we have a gentleman's agreement with those other agencies, and we are monitoring the water usage in the NCMA on a monthly basis. And there is what they call the adjudicated safe yield. And I haven't seen any data that says Grover's overpumping beyond their safety yield.
Okay, can you, beyond their safety yield, is that a buffer?
No, the safe yield is what they're allowed to pump every year.
Okay.
So there's no indication on any of the data that I've seen, and it's covered under attorney-client that says that they're violating the gentleman's agreement.
I'm not saying they're violating. I'm saying that we don't know how much they're pumping.
We chose not to pump groundwater because the water that we're getting, we're using our surplus water, which we're only allowed to bank 1 year. And right now, that's the cheapest water that you can get, and that's also the water that we're selling to Arroyo Grande.
We chose to stop pumping long before there was surplus. We stopped pumping at the first threat of salt water.
About the water management plan, right?
Right. So if you could bring us some supporting documents to show us where the groundwater pumping is, you know, what we're doing, what, you know, everybody that's in the agreement,
that would
help a lot. But my understanding right now is that they're at the max, and so I don't know when the year date rolls over or anything. So that's all, just a little bit of info.
An update.
Okay. Director Angelo?
All the information from the county that we can before making decisions.
Okay. Director Hurdle?
Nothing, thank you.
I just was reflecting at the break. We were having the sanitation district discussion, and I really feel like for me, when I go to a board like that yeah, I'm a board member, I'm paid to make decisions, and ultimately I do, but I really value the input of the rest of the board as representatives of the community for what it is that you want to do. And on that level, I feel kind of like a delegate on some. Even though I have a distinct fiduciary duty, I still feel like a delegate. I want your input. I want the community's input. I've had a lot of people coming up to me since I've been on this board and saying things to me and talking to me and asking questions. I can't always respond. I can't. Sometimes they're asking me questions that'll directly relate to employment, and I can't directly respond because I don't necessarily. I can't get it. Public comments out there. I feel that might influence other board members from that district, and so. Sometimes I have to tight-lip things. Sometimes I want to say yes or no. But I do appreciate the input that comes from the community. I appreciate the input that comes from this board. And so I just wanted to share that's my position. And I'm sticking to my position. So Item number 13, late received written communications. Have we covered all of them?
No, I've got some that I just got this week that I want to hand out. So I got a letter from Betty Carey, and it's basically a history lesson on one of the things that we took off the agenda, so I passed it on to you guys.
Okay. Thank you, Tom.
For your review. I have the latest water usage report by the district that we submitted per regulation, so I have that to pass out as well. And that probably could have come with the OCSD manager's report, but I just got it two days ago. Where do you want it attached to?
How do we normally, do we attach it normally to the minutes as a received communication? Caroline, what do you normally do? She said she'll attach it to the minutes if we want. Does anybody have any objection to attaching this?
No.
No.
When is this issue going to come back to the agenda?
Well, I think that they're presenting, according to the article, on October 30th at the Oceana Advisory Committee, so I would think after that. If we decide to revisit it. You know, right now it's just kind of off our agenda.
Well, I don't think it is off our agenda.
Well,
I think that
people
are...
Well, it's not scheduled.
Yeah, I think people are trying to convince us that it's outside of our jurisdictions, which, you know, there's different ways to look at things. So, well, until there's a plan that's submitted to us and, you know, somebody walks through the front door versus the back door, I don't know what to do.
My understanding is that it's going to be presented at that October 30th meeting, that the advisory committee is inviting the Homeless Coalition people to come present their program at that time.
And I asked the chair of OAC to also include somebody from the county.
And I would also like to understand why there's no representative from Oceano on the
right.
Board of Directors of this particular committee.
This particular coalition?
This coalition.
Yeah, no, never has been. I think the train has left the station, and
I believe it has also. And you know, it's like I know that there is a need for this type of project somewhere in the county. I'm
Most
not denying
definitely.
Not denying that at all. But I also recognize the fact that just because people may not want it here does not mean that it will not be here.
Right.
And in light of that, I think that
Director Hurdle, we might want to just put this on the agenda rather than engaging in discussion about it. So, I mean, it's interesting that we got this in the letter.
Is happening. I think that I feel the same way of Felton, is that, you know, when are we going to talk about, you know, the red herring? You know.
I agree. I think that
I wanted to see the subcommittee formed, because it's much bigger than just one project, you know, and for people to come in and say planning, you know, land use is out of your jurisdiction. No, it is not. I'm sorry. It depends on how you look at it, you know. And when we're asked to identify what types of businesses go in, it is within our jurisdiction. When we're asked to keep up the services, right, it is in our jurisdiction. So I was sorry to see you pull that from the agenda, Felma. I supported you in it because I knew you had a good reason for it. But
the solution is to bring it back within a short time period.
Next meeting?
Okay, so the county's coming to tell us on the 23rd what their real intent is.
Our meeting's on the 24th.
Our meeting's on the 24th?
Yes.
They're coming to present at our meeting. Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
So is this a good time to discuss that at the same time?
No, I would urge that the establishment of this the resolution had passed tonight because it's going to be treated as an action towards one project, and it's not. It's an action towards it. It's a way to include the community in what Oceano is going to look like in the future. And it's not about, I mean, how arrogant to think that it's about their project only. I take that as arrogance. No, it's a way to include people. And so I was sorry to see that come off the agenda. I don't know. What do you think, Foma?
I'm really conflicted at the moment about the whole thing, but it seems as though, to me, that this project has become in conflict, a conflict with our
realization. Yeah, I think we are stepping over bounds now, I think. Why don't we just put it on the agenda for next time?
Okay.
Do we want to do that before they come to our meeting? Because they're scheduled to come on the 24th. Is that
24th.
Correct? And that's our meeting night, regular meeting night. So do we...
Long before.
Right. This is something that we've been working on for a while. It's been needed.
Yeah.
And I really don't understand how things got the way they did. And because of that, I don't know how to unravel it. And I'm just really very disappointed in that. I'm disappointed.
Why not, if I can make a suggestion, we could try to set a special meeting next week just for this issue. Notice it for the public, make sure they know. And I think it'd probably be a good idea to actually provide plenty of notice for it instead of the ordinary 24 hours. That way, you guys can set aside some time just to talk about this one thing before the meeting on the 24th.
Which thing are we talking about? The homeless thing or the committee thing?
The committee. The establishment of a committee.
What was on the agenda as item number 9A?
Yes, I would support that. I would like to see that get rolling because I think it's so important with what's going to come back from the Caltrans. I mean, that's what predicated it was the Caltrans study.
Yes.
It had nothing to do with this other issue.
Right.
And the community turnout was phenomenal, and to keep that energy going, I thought it was a great idea.
I would be willing to attend a special meeting next week.
So, Thelma, would you be with that work?
Yes.
Okay.
Can we continue this meeting till next week?
I have a trial that's supposed to start on Monday, so I'm pretty much locked down. I can't be here before 5:30, and there's a sanitation district on Wednesday at 6. That'll be the next meeting for them.
How about Tuesday or
Thursday? I have a trial that's set to go. Tuesday's fine.
How do the kids feel about that?
Tuesday in the evening.
Okay. How does that work for everybody else? That would be the 16th.
Shall we do 6:30 on Tuesday?
Yes.
Here at the OCSD boardroom? Yeah. Okay.
Well, that means I'll miss the third.
Oh, debate?
It's on the 16th?
Mm.
It is?
I'll get it for you. No,
I just don't want this situation with the homeless thing going on without staying on top of it, because I think we've been kind of led down the path. So I'd like to have updates on what's going on if we get anything to the...
Well, the 24th we should have that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we'll have
I'm
that.
I'm hoping we're going to have that there. So.
It's on paper.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I just want to know what's going on before something else happens. Can't think of anything else.
Anything else? Item number 15, then. Public comments, Jennifer? And item number 16, adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn? Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, have a good night. It's 9:17 p.m. Of course.